Everything's inspired by the teaching of Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Om Aginati Manasya, Ganagana Salakya, Chakra Miditamyena, Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha, Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Karamayam, Tadati Sva Panantikam. Our talk is basically about enthusiasm, and I thought I'd start with this story. It's from a book by David McCullough called Mornings on Horseback. It tells the story of young Teddy Roosevelt. Quote, Mitty, who is Roosevelt's mother, had found that he was so afraid of the Madison Square Church that the family went to that he refused to set foot inside the church alone. She discovered that he was terrified of something called the zeal. It was crouched in the dark corners of the church, ready to jump at him, he said. When she asked what a zeal might be, he said he wasn't sure, but he thought it was probably a large animal, like an alligator or a dragon. He'd heard the minister read about it from the Bible. So using a concordance, like an index, she read him all those passages containing the word zeal until suddenly, very excited, he told her to stop. He said, that's the one. It's from the book of John, 2:17, quote, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Our talk today is burn brightly. If we're going to rise higher in life, it's important that the light of your spirit dominate the darkness of matter. Spirit is compared to light. This body is darkness. The spirit is fire. The body is ashes. It said, from dust to dust, ashes to ashes. One fellow prayed, Lord, grant that the heat in my heart will melt the lead in my feet. That's a pretty good prayer. We want that kind of excitement. We want that kind of enthusiasm. Something that motivates us to change and become better versions of ourselves. I think you'll agree with me that motivating people is a huge issue, a perennial problem in life. I was reading each day that across this country, 50,000 people quit their jobs. Some of them are moving to better jobs, but many of them are not. And these statistics ignore still other people who have also quit their jobs but keep coming to work. A survey of workers across the United States found out that nearly 85% said they could work harder on the job. More than half of those, that's 42% of all workers in America, said they could double their effectiveness if they wanted to. And that's the rub, isn't it? If we could do better, why don't we? That's the question, isn't it? Everybody's asking how to motivate people. Teachers are asking how to motivate students. Parents are asking how to motivate children. Employers are asking how to motivate employees. And most of us are asking ourselves, how do we motivate us? And do you know anybody that at one time was on fire with the Spirit, passionate to make a difference in their life, inspired to accomplish their dreams, and yet over time their spiritual enthusiasm began to wane, their fire began to burn less bright? They experienced disappointments. They got worn down by the pressures of life. And some or other, they're not excited anymore. They lost touch with their spirit. Their fire has become subdued by the passage of time and the pressures of life. What were once roaring flames have now become, in their lives, passive embers. At one time, maybe even you got down on your knees and prayed for a child. Your first child was born, you praised God and shed tears of joy. Now that child is a teenager and you're asking God, Lord, why me? Perhaps at one time you were so excited about that person to whom you were married. You were so in love and so passionate, but now the relationship's come stale. Once your spouse put a sparkle in your eye and a spring in your step, now you're starting to take him or her for granted, treating them with a polite formality. Maybe when you first joined the temple, you felt lifted as on the wings of angels. You were so excited about the difference it was making in your life and the lives of those close to you. Now you've been living those changes for a few years, and it's become routine. You see a new person, a new convert, dancing like crazy in the kirtan, and you think, what's he so worked up about? Isn't it true that even the greatest things can appear to become stagnant over time if we allow them to do so? You can have an exciting job, but it can start to get boring. You could be married to an incredible person, but if you don't nourish that relationship, put something into it over time, it's likely to get stagnant. You have to work at things if you want them to stay fresh. They don't automatically happen. You may have gone from roaring flames, so to speak, to smoldering embers. But if you get your poker out and start stirring up those embers, you'll get your flames back. They didn't die out. They're still there. You just have to stir them up. Maybe you're about to give up on one of your dreams. Or maybe you're not excited about that relationship anymore. The good news is the fire is still in there. If you do your part to fan the flame, it can burst forth into passion once again. And how do you stir up those flames? Here's a suggestion. Instead of dragging around, finding every reason that you can to be unhappy, how about changing the focus? Quit looking at what's wrong in your life and start being grateful for what's right in your life. Make a declaration with me today. I'm not going to live my life defeated and depressed. My dreams may not have come to pass yet. I may have some obstacles in my path, but I know that Krishna or God is in control. I know that he's got great things in store for me. So I'm going to get up each day excited about my life. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Everything may not be perfect in my life, but if I don't learn to be happy where I am, I'm not going to get to where I want to be. I may not have the perfect job, but I'm thanking Krishna that at least I have a job. Some people would love to have my job. I'm going to find my flame and go to work with a new enthusiasm. Don't drag yourself into the workplace with a long face, barely on time, going through the motions, dragging through till quitting time. Instead, give your job 110%. Come 15 minutes early, leave 15 minutes late. Make yourself indispensable to the boss. Do your work with all your heart, to the best of your ability. Stay passionate about it. Everybody else there may be slacking off. Everybody else might have a poor attitude, but you are not everybody else. You're a child of the Most High God. Do not be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. And here's a key. Enthusiasm is contagious. If you go into your workplace with a smile on your face, full of life, full of joy, full of victory, well, you know what? Before long, it'll rub off on others. That whole place will come to a higher level thanks to you. A Mississippi country preacher prayed before he preached, O Lord, give this thy servant this morning the eyes of an eagle and the wisdom of an owl. Illuminate my brow with the sun of heaven and possess my mind with the love of people. Turpentine my imagination, grease my lips, electrify my brain with the light of the word, and fill me plumb full of dynamite for thy glory. That's enthusiasm. Learn to be happy right where you are. Learn to be happy doing what you're doing right now. Krishna doesn't want us to go around complaining, thinking about everything that's wrong in our lives. For instance, you might be living in a tiny apartment instead of that dream house of yours. But you should thank God that you have a roof over your head. Thank God you're not homeless living out there among the elements. He, ladies, may not be the perfect husband. But you can still thank Krishna that at least you have somebody to love. How many people out there are lonely today? Believe it or not, some women out there would be glad to have your husband. Be grateful for that man. And when you're about to complain because the boss told you you have to work late every night next week, or you found out you have to take care of the kids all day, just remember something. You don't have to do anything. You get to do it. Krishna is the one who's giving you the break, giving you the opportunity. You wouldn't be able to work late next week if Krishna hadn't opened up that door of opportunity. Let's change our perspective. Do not do things out of obligation because you have to. Do them with an attitude of gratitude. I don't have to go to work today. I get to go to work today. I don't have to take care of these children. They're a blessing. I get to take care of them. It's one thing to give because you have to, but it's another thing altogether to give because you want to. It's one thing to go to work just to pick up a paycheck. It's another thing to go to work to be a blessing to your co-workers. It's one thing to stay married to that person because it's the right thing to do. People may look down on you if you separate. But it's another thing entirely to stay married to that person. Treat him or her with respect and honor. Help your partner reach a higher level. When you do the right thing with the right motives, there's no limit to what Krishna or God will do in your life. It's easy to get focused on what's wrong and take for granted what's right, what's going well. When you focus on the good, you bolster your enthusiasm and your passion. If you struggle with staying excited and passionate, try making a list of all the things for which you could be grateful. Write down all the things that Krishna or God has blessed you with. If you have your health, write it down. I'm healthy. If you can see, write it down. I can see. If you're good looking like me, write it down. I'm good looking. If you have a job, write it down. I have a job. If you've got a family, if you've got several close friends, if you've got great children, make that list. Write it down and read it every day over two or three times. It's important to get your mind going in the right direction because your life is going to follow your thoughts. A university professor was invited to speak at a military base. He was met at the airport by an unforgettable soldier named Ralph. This is what the professor had to say. After we introduced ourselves to each other, we headed towards the baggage claim area. But Ralph kept disappearing. Once he stopped to help an older woman with her baggage. Another time he stopped to lift two toddlers up to see Santa Claus. And then again, he paused to give directions to someone who was lost. Finally, I said, Ralph, where did you learn to live like that? Ralph replied, during the war, I was in Vietnam. My job was to clear the minefields. You never knew which step might be your last. So I learned to live between the steps. And I guess I just keep living that way. At the beginning of the day, you have the opportunity to set your tone. If you can go out with a positive attitude and a grateful state of mind, thinking about how blessed you are and how good God's been to you, then you're going to draw in the goodness of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Put that list on your bathroom mirror, on your desk, or someplace where you can see it throughout the day. Read over it occasionally as you go through your normal routine, and it'll help you stay excited about your life. When negative, discouraging thoughts come to you, as they do to us all, just turn it around. Look over your list. Remind yourself, I'm alive, I'm healthy, got a great spouse, got beautiful children, all the good things in my life. One other important point to finding your passion is to keep fresh goals out in front of you. Some people have lost their passion for life because they're not pursuing anything anymore. Krishna, God created us to be always reaching out for something, reaching for more than what we have or more than where we are at present. If you live with low motivation, few dreams, and unrealistic goals, what's going to happen is you become stagnant. On the other hand, if you continue to pursue newer and newer goals, it's going to keep you fresh and excited about your life. It doesn't need to be a lofty or a grandiose goal. It might be a goal to finish school, a goal to be a better parent, to build and pay off a new temple like we're doing up there in Salt Lake City. As long as you have something out in front of you, always be growing. Never allow yourself to become complacent. After you accomplish one goal, set another one. Keep moving. Keep looking for new challenges, new obstacles. You say you're retired. You say you're just kicking back, taking it easy. No. Even though you're retired from your job, you never retire from a service to God. He created you to honor Him and to benefit your fellow living beings. It's psychologically damaging. It's psychologically unhealthy to avoid those imperatives in your life. Maybe right now your assignment is to raise your children. Well, do it with passion, with enthusiasm. Maybe you have a dream to start a business, a dream to own your own home, a dream to be in the ministry. Keep it in front of you and keep pressing towards it. We all have obstacles, challenges in our path. There's nothing new about that. That's fine, but don't cause them to retreat and give up on your dreams. Krishna still has something important for you to do. Don't make the mistake of dwelling on the wrong things. Before long, you'll be planning your own funeral. Doesn't matter what the situation looks like in the natural, keep your dreams alive. We serve a supernatural God. Maybe you're struggling as a student financially, but you have a dream of owning your own home. Keep the dream alive. Put a picture of the type of home that you'd like to have in front of you. You need to have something to be striving towards. Then work and save and make wise financial choices, and you'd be surprised how quickly that dream can become a reality. Sometimes we lose our enthusiasm because we let what was once a miracle become commonplace. We get used to it. It becomes routine. For instance, maybe at one time you're excited about your job. You know that Krishna, God, opened up that door for you, created that promotion, gave you that position. You couldn't wait to get to work every morning. You got there and you gave 100%. But now, a few years later, the newness is worn off. It's become routine. You don't really enjoy going to work as much anymore. You've become discouraged. You know what just happened there? You let your miracle become common. You need to go back and remember how Krishna brought you to where you are. You need to fan your flames. I heard about a man who complained all the time about his job. He said the company wasn't treating him right. He wasn't being paid enough money. He couldn't stand his boss. On and on and on and on it went. One day, the company announced they were going to lay off 50% of their employees. It looked all of a sudden like he was going to get fired. The fellow stopped complaining and, wonder of wonders, started really liking his job. At the last minute, his company decided to keep him on, and you would have thought he just won the lottery. Interesting how things can change your perspective. You would be a lot more excited about your job if you realize that you may not always have it. Or maybe you would be more excited about your marriage partner if you thought that you were about to lose that person. At one time, you were so pumped that you couldn't keep your eyes off of him or her. But over the years, you've allowed it to grow stale, stagnant. You've grown apart. You don't enjoy each other like you used to. You don't have time for intimacy and compliments. You're too busy to talk at night. Don't take that other person for granted. Do whatever you have to do to get the spark back. Rekindle that relationship that brought you together in the first place. Bring some freshness back into the marriage. Get out of your normal routine and do something different. Might take a little creativity, but with effort, you can do something to bring freshness back to your relationship. Do not lose your enthusiasm for that other person. Don't let that miracle, that relationship with the person that Krishna brought into your life, become so common that you take it for granted. When Fanny Brice, the famous comedian, was first offered a job from Florence Ziegfeld, She accepted the job very quietly and without much of a show of emotion. She thanked his secretary and his doorman very demurely and very politely. As soon as she was out of the building, though, she shot down to the theater where she would be performing. All afternoon, she stood in front of the Broadway theater and grabbed people off the sidewalk to tell them, "I'm going to be working here. I just got a job here." Wouldn't it be great to leave the temple this evening with that kind of excitement and that kind of enthusiasm? So no matter how calm and sophisticated you look while you're inside these walls, we couldn't wait to get outside to share God consciousness with somebody else. We should never lose the amazement of what Krishna has done in our lives. Every time I drive by the Spanish Fork Temple, and I've done it hundreds if not thousands of times, I'm amazed. And I've made up my mind that I'll always be amazed, even up to the day I die. Now we have another beautiful temple in Salt Lake City to keep us in the blessed state of amazement and wonderment about the goodness of God. If we were ever to start taking either one of these magnificent temples for granted, I think Krishna would be quite displeased with us. Not that we shouldn't be planning, striving for more, but we should always be grateful for where we are. Too often, we let something that was so great at one time become routine, and we don't appreciate it like we should. God's done great things in your life. He's taken you further than you could have imagined. He's brought some great people into your life. He's opened some doors. Don't get so accustomed to those things that they don't excite you anymore. Choose to remain passionate, living every day with enthusiasm. And sometimes we get in such a hurry that we miss all the miracles on the way. Take time if you're parents for your children. Look in their eyes every day and tell them how much you love them, how proud of them you are. Think of the joy and the fulfillment that they bring you. That alone should be enough to cause us to bounce out of bed every day with enthusiasm. And when you're tired of cleaning up after them or you're tempted to have a bad attitude, turn it around and say, "Krishna, thank you for these children. Thank you for each of these gifts that you've given me." Miracles are all around us. The people in your life, the doors that God has opened, the things that happened along the way are not by accident. It was Krishna's favor that caused you to be at the right place at the right time. You met someone and fell in love, or you qualified for that home, and you know that by all the usual means, you would not have done so. You got that promotion unexpectedly. A new temple opened in your city. These aren't coincidences. Krishna was directing our steps. Do not take them for granted. Question is, what are you focused on today? Are you becoming a better you? Is there a peace in your home and in your heart and in your mind? Are you happy, at rest, enjoying life? We need to realize that this day is unique and irreplaceable. We need to make the most of it, live it like it could be our last. I heard about an elderly couple who were always smiling and encouraging other people. Everyone loved them, especially the youth. After many, many decades, they still treated each other with honor and respect. In her mid-80s, the woman passed away. At the funeral, her husband told an interesting story. He said, "About 15 years ago, I had a heart attack. When my wife came to the hospital, she suggested that every night from then on, before we go to bed, that we affirm our love 3 times to each other just to show how much we love each other, how much we're not taking each other for granted. So for these last 15 or 20 years, we never went to sleep without affirming our love 3 times. We'd say things like, 'I so much enjoy your company. Your smile makes me happy. I'm so fortunate to have you as my husband or wife. With you, every day is special.' Don't you just have to love that?" The woman lived every day like it could be her last. She went to be with the Lord on a Tuesday, But Monday night, she told her husband she loved him in three different ways. When her life was over, she had no regrets. The last day of her life, she lived it loving, caring, at peace, enjoying every moment. Friends, this day is a gift. Make the most of it. Shake off anything a hint of self-pity or discouragement. Find some reason to be grateful. Heard a story about two men who are patients in the same hospital room. Every day, the man closest to the window shared with his friend what he saw outside, describing it in great detail so his roommate could enjoy the view, even though he was confined to a bed far from the window. The man near the window used to say, "Today I see a beautiful multicolored sunrise. Kids are out there playing and screaming in delight. The trees are blooming," on and on and on and on. Each day, the fellow whose bed was a distance looked forward to hearing his roommate report on the outside of the world. It was his highlight every day. One day, the patient next to the window became so excited. "Oh, you should see this. There's a parade coming by, a marching band, tubas and drums and basses. Kids are celebrating, adults are dancing, and everybody's having such a good time." After several weeks, a patient next to the window passed away. So his friend asked the nurse if he could have the bed by the window so he could see all the great scenes of activity outside. The nurse moved the patient to the bed next to the window, but when he looked out to the window, all he saw was a brick wall. The patient called the nurse back in and said, "What's going on? My friend who passed away described all those beautiful scenes for several weeks. I can't see anything but a blank wall." The nurse smiled and said, "Sir, didn't you realize that your friend was blind? He chose to see a beautiful life from the inside out." What do we learn from this story? That no matter what turns or twists life takes, you can find the good if you look for it. If we have the right attitude, we can see the sun shining when it's cloudy. We can stay full of joy and keep getting better, even when things don't go our way. This slide in front of you reads, "I opened two gifts this morning. They were my eyes." Our prayer is this afternoon that Krishna, God, give you a sense of gratitude, that we always focus on the good and never take life for granted. If you'll trust Krishna each day and live according to his plan for your life, you'll be happier, healthier, you'll rise higher than you ever would have imagined it be possible. Make a decision with me that you're going to live each day with enthusiasm. Get up each morning and think about all the things for which you can be grateful. If you need to, make a list, keep it in front of you. Then go out every day to pursue your God-given dreams. Remember, you have the seed of greatness in you. You weren't made to be stagnant. Rise out of complacency. Keep growing. Keep reaching new heights. Your best days are still out in front of you. You have not seen, heard, or imagined the great things that God has in store for you. As you keep stretching for the next level, improving your life, and reaching for your highest potential, you will not only become a better you than you ever dreamed possible, not only will you accomplish your dreams in this life, but also in the next life, you'll go back to home, back to Godhead.